The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
It's time to turn the pages. It's time to type it right. It's time to get things started on the most booktational, inspirational Once Upon an Author show. Here's your host, Danielle M. Orsino. Yay!
Great mind once said, you need to be a little bit crazy to do anything worthwhile. And that great mind was Kermit the Frog, one of my personal idols. I love Kermit, love the Muppets, and we're going to get into all that good stuff coming up. So let's start it off today. Once upon a time, on October 15th, our journey began. We're going to begin this journey going through the stories behind the stories behind the author. Today, I invite you into my life, not just as an author, but as a person striving to achieve their dream, when I kind of already thought I did, and then I woke up and I didn't. So we're going to get into all that stuff, and I hope that it helps you reflect a little bit and you get to see everything with the curtain pulled back from the publishing world. I'm going to start with what I'm not. I'm not a literary scholar. You're never going to hear me talking about the great classics and diving into all of the motivations, nature versus man, man versus nature, all that kind of stuff you probably remember from high school. I don't really remember it much, but I've never been into Bronte. I've never read Jane Austen. Mr. Darcy is definitely not my dream guy. I'm a little bit more of a Caverine type of girl. And if you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. I'm going to get into all that later. My favorite authors aren't Sarah J. Maas or Emily Dickinson. I lean a little more towards Chris Claremont, Stephanie Williams, and if you know those names, you know I'm a comic book geek already. If I stroll into a Barnes & Noble, besides trying to see if my book's there, you know, I'm always on the lookout for another version of Anne Rice's Queen of the Damned, one of my favorite books of all time. And yes, get into all that, I promise. But when I signed on with my second publisher, I had no idea what an Oxford comma was. I thought it was a function on the keyboard. And then when they told me, I felt like my keyboard had just betrayed me. I wanted to throw it out the window. And I also felt a little dumb. I had no idea. I get affect and affect mixed up a lot. I don't get your. If you text me, I will text the right one. Because you know how you've seen people like you are the best and they put your, Y-O-U-R. Yeah, I don't do that. Not yet, anyway. Like I said, my grammar. It's a work in progress. My husband does my copy editing, or my proofing. He has a special pen that he takes out, big red. And I get a lot of red marks back, a lot of them. I like to put commas in. Ever since the Oxford comma thing, I'll put commas anywhere. It's bad. Or I'll do a run-on sentence. That's even worse. I write very conversational. But what I am, you haven't figured it out yet, I'm a little bit crazy. I've spent my whole life with this inner monologue, narrating my days and my times since I was a kid. I think like JD from Scrubs, if you've ever seen it. That's really what I did. And I thought the rest of the world did it too. I thought everybody was walking around just talking about their day in their head and making up little stories and theme songs and things like that. No, they don't. No, that was not a common thing for most people. And when I mentioned it, a lot of people were like, what? What do you do? So I kind of had to keep that in a little bit. But I love Wonder Woman. She's my absolute hero. But if I had to be honest, I'm probably a little more Harley Quinn at the center. You know, well-intentioned after being through a lot of trauma, but I can't get out of my own way sometimes. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. But I'm also a best-selling author. I'm an award-winning. Best-selling? Okay, I've just made the Amazon best-selling list for a couple hours here and there, so we really can't say best-selling, but we can say award-winning. We can say that. So I'm also navigating my life with myasthenia gravis. So for anybody who's watching live or watches this later, if you see one of my eyes drift off or go in cross, I'm not making faces. I'm not trying to be cute. that's part of myasthenia gravis. And I am actually in a flare. Wasn't expecting it. So I see everything, double vision. I get muscle weakness, all of that. I've only been diagnosed recently. And as a former athlete, that definitely has sent me into a whirlwind and into a spin. And yes, we're going to get into all of that too. But throughout this whole journey, what I've learned both as a person and as an author is that you kind of have to embrace these highs and lows, which I'm sure everybody out there, listeners, you probably know that already. You just have to go with it. I like to swim upstream a little bit. So that can be an issue. I like to go against the current. Even when the universe was directing me in a way, I fought it. So I kind of joke about the universe throwing a pebble at you. There's a little bit of a warning, like, hey, you're not supposed to do that, or this is the way I want you to go. Then they throw a rock. Then it throws a brick. And then the boulder comes. I usually don't learn till the boulder. I'll be perfectly honest. I have some issues where I'm a little stubborn and I like to do it my way. But the funny thing is the universe always corrects you and corrects itself. And that's kind of how I've ended up as an author, which once again, we're going to kind of go down that journey. But what I have been, I'm a Hall of Fame martial artist. I've competed for Team USA at the WKA World Championships. I got to stand on that medal stand. It was silver, but that's okay. I look good in silver. I'm good with that. I was also one of the older people to be on the medal stand and to be on the team. I went from Taekwondo to Wushu, a Chinese art, and I started at a later age, quote unquote. But I got through it, and I'm very happy, and I've since retired. But I've also worked as a designer. I had my own clothing line for a little bit. I got to work with a lot of soap operas. So any General Hospital fans out there, I can give you the details on all that stuff. I had a great time. It was a lot of fun. I had an online boutique for it. I've been a personal trainer. I've been a nurse. I've been all of those things. But what I have also been is screwed over by my best friend and her quote unquote publishing company. Oh yeah, we're getting into that one. Trust me. Hang tight for that. Now, once I got out of that, I kind of jumped from the frying pan into the fire with other things. So I had to learn. But through it all and through this learning process, I kind of always say, if you want to know what not to do, come sit next to me. As an author, I've been taken for every scam there is. I've had people say I need a writing life coach, not a ghostwriter, not an editor. A writing life coach. I fell for that one. I fell for the vanity presses. I didn't go with it, but I was close. I've done all of that. And what I've learned is to speak about it and tell other people because they're usually going through the same thing. Even if it's not writing, it's usually something close and they can always take it and adapt it. So I think that's part of what we're kind of going to discuss with things is exactly what's led us to where we are. And in the meantime, you're going to get the backstory on everything. So I'm here to tell my story, the human side that gets lost in the hustle and bustle of trying to get book reviews, social media posts, battling for your Amazon rankings. Any new author knows you check that Amazon ranking all the time just to see if you've moved or clicked. So you gotta get caught up in that. I want to reveal my life as a modern day author, not the glamorous BS that Hollywood portrays. So to give you an example of that, when I first started doing this and I decided, okay, yes, I'm going to go forward and write. I watched all the A&E biographies on the authors, J.K. Rowling, George R.R. Martin, Stephen King, the whole thing. And then I realized a lot of it isn't really what it's supposed to be. So, to give you an example, George R.R. Martin, Game of Thrones, awesome. Awesome movie series, well, up to a certain point, let's face it. After, you know, season six, we started losing things. But, great book. Yes, we're still waiting years later for the follow-up, but still. The thing with him, though, If you don't know, he had connections in Hollywood. This was not some great moment of fate that stepped in destiny, like these biographies said. He worked for X-Files, the TV show. He was a writer for that. He had other things. Game of Thrones had been out for a very long time before it was picked up. So when you watch the autobiography, it was very glamorous. It was like, oh, I just got picked up and it was a one in a million. And now look at me, I'm sitting on top of the mountain. Same thing with J.K. Rowling. She just didn't know how she made it there. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, you studied the Greek classics. So if you look in Harry Potter, most of the monsters, Greek mythology. So there's a little more to it. You know, they sent out a bunch of her books for free to libraries. I think 1,500 before anything started moving. But once again, if you watch these bios, they're usually like they're just sitting on top of the mountain and it's so great, the view. That's not always it. I was actually on a talk show, a major talk show, and featured as an author. And when you hear my story about how I became an author, you'll understand this. But for now, to preview it, they showed my patient. I was a nurse, and that's who inspired me. I told them, you know, wasn't in a hospital, was in a clinic, blah, blah, blah. And the package was him, you know, close to his deathbed and me having to come in and tell stories while the IV dripped. And it was so glamorized and just so pulled apart that I was like, that's kind of not what happened. Enough that the patient called me and saw it. And he was like, oh, so now I'm dying. He's like, that's a new piece of the story. So there's always little changes here and there. And I decided, let's show somebody at the bottom of the mountain trying to climb. The view from the top is always beautiful. We all know that. But what happens when you're just trying to get there? You know, you never see somebody going on a hike. Like, they don't show them pulling up and parking the car and trying to find a parking spot. And then where's the path? They don't show any of that. It's just the view and the sunset from the top with, you know, usually an eagle flying by or something crazy like that and the best sunset ever. Yeah, I'm going to kind of get past that a little bit and break it down as much as I can. I'm going to show royalty statements and all of that stuff and tell you exactly what went down and then give you insight into the book. You're going to get the stories behind my book. Like, for example, why the bishops are named the bishops. There's no religious connotation in Birth of the Fae. None at all. To be perfectly honest with you, I had a Taekwondo instructor. He was actually the president of our organization. He hated my guts. Hated me. The mention of my name in this man, you could see the steam coming out of his ears. He tried to stop me every step of the way when I was competing. He would tell me, I don't have the Taekwondo body. I'm not tall. I'm 5'2". Okay, maybe it's 5'1", 5'2" on a good day. But he said, I wasn't thin enough. I couldn't do middle splits. I could do side splits, but I couldn't do middle. And apparently that was a big deal for him. So everything I did was wrong in his eyes. And he tried to really get me. And there are some days he did. There are some days I left crying and being upset and thinking, why am I doing this? But when you hear the whole story, you'll understand. So when it was time for a morally corrupt character to get a name, I used Mr. Bishop as my muse. And the bishops became the bishops. That's it. There's the old saying, don't get the author mad because she might put you in the story and kill you. I won't put you in the story and kill you. I'll just reveal everything. So if you're ever reading the Birth of the Fae series, as someone who knows me and you think, gee, that kind of sounds like me. Well, probably is. If you stuffed me in a locker, there's probably something I took from that and worked it out in the book. That's just how it is. But we're going to get into all of those little stories and nuggets, because sometimes I think in order to really enjoy a book, you want to know where it came from. And not every book is for everybody, and I'm not here to sell anything. It's just I've learned. And that's really what I want to do. If I fail, well, you're going to see it. All the little successes, all the mistakes, and I've made so many of them. There's no sugarcoating. It's just me, the stories that brought me to this moment, the good, the bad, and the really, really ugly. And there's a mixture of all of it. There'll be laughter, I hope. There may be some tears, and that may be coming from me. But I'd like to think, we can kind of work this out together and figure it out. So I hope that you'll take this journey with me. Now, to give you a little bit of a background on things, just so we start this off right, we've got to make the introductions. As I said, I'm an award-winning author. My series is Birth of the Fae. It's a fantasy series. There are six books and two novellas. I wrote all of them at the same time, and I handwrote them. Yes, I can see the eye rolls from here. But before we get into all of that, we're going to take a quick break, go to our PSA, and then we're going to get back to talking about handwriting six books and what went wrong. I hope you'll stay tuned. Thanks.
Are you in need of primary care services where you feel like family? Do you want to go to a place with a caring and passionate staff that cares about you and wants to make sure that you receive all of your services not only in one place, but you holistically become better? Let me suggest Dedicated Senior Medical Center. Hi, this is Bishop Mary, and I need you to get to one of the five locations throughout the city of Philadelphia. North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, Mayfair, and Allegheny. They will be happy to receive you. Now, to qualify, you must be 55 and older and have the Medicare Advantage plan. And if you don't, they have somebody there. They'll be able to help you get on board. So try Dedicated Senior Medical Center at a location near you today. And know that when you call the Dedicated Difference, you won't be disappointed.
So, before the break, we talked about how I've written my series. And yes, I handwrote it. All of them together. The only things I didn't write was the novellas. Those came later. But when I sat down to do the books, I had no idea what I was doing. In fact, I'm going to be perfectly honest again. I still don't know what I'm doing. I'd love to tell you I have this whole thing figured out. I do not. Not even close. I still can't get over the fact that I'm an author. And when people talk about my quote unquote writing career, I still have to look at them and go, what? Oh, yeah, I do that. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm an author. I can't give you my elevator pitch on my own books. I could sell other people's books, but not mine. It's still a little weird. So, of course, I started in an unorthodox manner. I handwrote all my books at the same time. I sat down, opened up a journal, and just started writing. And to give you another little tidbit, volume one wasn't even supposed to, that's not even what I started out to write. I started to write volume two. That was the story I wanted to tell. But as I was writing it, I kept thinking, oh, they probably want to know about this. Or no, they might want to know where that came from. And I'd open up another journal and just start writing. Before too long, I had all of this paper. And so then I sat down at the computer and started editing. I'm also dyslexic. So sometimes some things got mixed up. As an example, my main dude is King Jarvok, King of the Dark Fae, your usual brooding kind of guy. I put a little twist on him, but like I said, we'll get in that later. When I handwrote it, his name was Farjok. When I went to go write it and type it, Jarvok came out instead. And at that point, I could hear the voice in my head going, yeah, 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 I like that better. Stick with that. And that's what I did. So there was a lot of mistakes. I didn't know about copy editing versus line editing. I had no idea about any of that. I just sat down and typed and tried to get something on paper. And there the series was born. Once again, didn't plan on any of this. It just happened. I did not plan on sending it out and ever getting it published. My thought was, I'll get it out on paper and then decide and see what I want to do. Because I was applying to physician assistant programs at the same time. And I really didn't know what would work, what wouldn't. But we'll get into the little story about my interview, trust me. I decided to go with publishing. And that's where my friend came in and all of that. But up to that point, I was still trying to figure this all out. I took every class. I hadn't taken anything. I don't remember creative writing from high school. Do you? I certainly do not. I think I read Catcher in the Rye, Great Expectations, and then I watched the Ethan Hawke Gwyneth Paltrow movie anyway, which I liked a lot. But I can't remember what I really learned from writing. So I did this all on my own. Like I said, I made a lot of mistakes. A lot of them. I fell for everything. Every line, every promise I fell for. I didn't understand protecting your IP. I didn't really know branding. None of this stuff. And so when I would get help, I would take it. Sometimes it wasn't always from the right source. And that's another thing to learn. Sometimes I kind of think of it as your first middle school dance. And the girls and the boys are going to finally dance together a slow dance. And I don't know if you remember this, but I remember from middle school, that was like the first time I ever went to a school dance and thought, I want to dance with a boy. If you're waiting to be asked and you get passed by, the next person that asks you, you're just ready to dance. You don't care who it is. You're just going to go. And that's kind of what writing was like. I had been passed over. I wasn't sure what I was doing. Then when someone offered help, I just jumped up and was like, great, I'll take it. I'll take it. You got to be a little more selective. And you also have to realize it's your story. And that's something that's really, really important. So if I can offer a piece of advice right now, if there's a new writer out there and you're thinking of writing or you want to or you're not really sure, don't be afraid to fail. You're going to. Not everyone's going to love your book. I don't care if those authors that say their book is for everybody, they're lying to you. Their book is not. It's not meant to be for everybody. So you're going to get bad reviews. You're going to fail. But what you want to do is just keep going. It's not about getting it right. Your story will work itself out. Trust me, it will. The story you want to tell, it'll be on that paper. It's about more persistence, having the courage to keep going and telling your story, even when it seems like no one wants to listen. I've been there too, many times. But you just want to stay true to you. And I think that's kind of what I'm trying to do with this whole thing. At Once Upon an Author, I'm going to give you all the back details. I'm going to tell you about my family life, everything. I'm just going to open it up and be as vulnerable as possible. Because as an author, you're so used to criticism, you kind of build an armor and you forget to take it down. So this is my chance to take it down. But before we close the chapter on this wonderful first debut episode, I want to clap and say, yay, me. I didn't think I'd do this. I was way too nervous. I want to leave you with a couple of questions. Who are you? Who are you not? Where have you been and what has happened to get you to this point in life? I'm not going to say the answers are pretty. I'm not looking for answers of perfection. That's just for you to think about. No one defines you. You define yourself. And by asking those questions, you can kind of get a sense of where you're at and hear from that inner voice what is really molding your life at this point. And what are you happy with? What are you not happy with? But you should always be happy with where you've been and where you are now because you made it through. Scars, emotional, physical, whatever, they're there, but they don't define you. And sometimes they just let you know you made it. And you made it and you're still standing. And I think that's a really important lesson in all of this. And it's something that I've had to work on personally. I'm still working on that. As a former fighter, I'm ready to go anytime. You can't do that in writing or in the publishing world. You can't fight yourself. You can try. Doesn't always work though. Trust me on that one. Like I said, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. So I want you to figure it out for yourself. And maybe you'll listen and go, I have no questions. Like I'm good. I don't really care about stories, but yeah, I want to hear this part. Or, maybe you are an aspiring writer. I'll give you pieces of advice. I'm going to tell you everything I did wrong, just so maybe you don't make those mistakes. Or maybe it opens up a door for you in some capacity. It's that aha moment. That's why I'm doing all of this. and to open myself up. I often get asked in interviews the same kind of questions. And it's always, you know, why is this person this way? Why is this character this way? Why did you do this? And you can only give a 30-second answer. You can never really get into it. They're ready to move on to the next thing. And then you go back and go, oh, I wish I had said this. Oh, I should have said that instead. This is my do-over in some of those. I get to finally explain really where things came from, what led me there, without having to censor myself and think, okay, I've got to wrap this up in, you know, 15 seconds. So I think that's part of this. And if anybody's out there listening, watching, and you're thinking of doing something different and taking that risk, I always think bet on yourself. And that was something when I did get into a PA program and I had to decide between doing my books or going to school. The one who let me in, the administrator, the head of admissions said, you know what, honey, bet on yourself. You'll never go wrong when you do that. So for those of you who can see me, I got some pretty red hair here. I bet on red. And that's what I went with. Didn't go to PA school. Went headfirst into this writing thing. I left nursing. Left all of that behind, personal training, everything, and jumped in. So I'm hoping that you'll want to join me on that journey, but also maybe it gives you the courage a little bit to do whatever has been holding you back or making that decision that you really weren't sure of. That's what I'm here for. Maybe these little fails and successes will help out and help you see to it. So once again, before we close, questions are, who are you? Who are you not? And where have you been to get you right now? Thank you for joining me on Once Upon an Author. I'll be back with more stories, more insights, and more fun. Thank you so much. I'm Danielle M. Orsino.